Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, where we're giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. We're here on Sundays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m., Wednesdays at 9 a.m. And then we have, that's our special edition, by the way, of Tell Me Your Story. Then we also have Monday through Friday from 8 to 9 a.m. And we're very excited to have 9 programs, 9 guests, 9 topics, 9 conversations that you can tune into, you can log into, you can listen at those times by going to richarddugan.com, clicking on the Listen Live link. We're also podcasting at SoundCloud, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, Stitcher, Player FM, Blueberry, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and a bunch of other locations, too numerous to mention. We're also on YouTube. We hope that you'll subscribe. We've been doing this for, well, a few years. We've got about 111, maybe close to 112,000 listens since January 1 of 2018. I'm not sure how that breaks down or what that really means, other than 112,000 people or in people, listens, I should say. People have listened to numerous different ones. And then if we have a whole whopping 147 subscribers, I appreciate that. And I know we have a lot more than that exponentially listening to or watching the YouTube videos. We hope you'll subscribe and at least select notifications so that you'll be notified when a new conversation is posted. You'll be able to tune into that. We certainly hope you'll do that. Also, if you'd like to support the work we are doing, you want to be a part of the work that we are doing to change the world for the better, transforming it, making this a wonderful place for everybody, because quite honestly, it is a wonderful place. But, you know, you've heard the phrase before, there's always room for improvement, and just little tweaks here and there are not a bad thing. But I tend to lean towards Gandhi and his statement about, you know, being the change that you want to see. So I'm doing that on my part, and I hope that you will as well. We have a PayPal account that's there for your security as well as artists if you'd like to support us financially. The PayPal account, you'll want to they'll ask you for to whom are you sending? Richard@richarddugan.com. That's Richard@richarddugan.com. And then we ask that you go within and listen to that still small voice during this, the decade of perfect vision, where it's just a wonderful thing to do right now with the weather here on the Central Coast being what it is, absolutely gorgeous. Everything is so green and lush. I cannot tell you how fabulous it is to go out into what I like to call the yard where we live up above Santa Barbara. And the grasses are getting a little tall, but it's just beautiful and green. And I just cannot get enough of it. It's just fantastic. With all of that being said, we have a returning guest to our program. His name is Peter Wright. He is a certified hypnotherapist, among other things. We've had him on talking about a lot of the different modalities that he uses that he is actually, I was almost going to say he's used on me. No, he hasn't used anything on me. I have participated in and he has facilitated these particular modalities, in particular, Life Between Lives, which was fascinating, as well as some other hypnotherapy techniques. And we're certainly happy that to have participated in that. I have to say, Peter, first of all, welcome to Tell Me Your Story again. And it's really kind of opened my eyes to different aspects of who I am.
Excellent. Yes, indeed. That's what it's designed to do, for you to look within yourself for answers that are there that can easily be accessed from your higher self and your guidance and all those who join us from the light.
Well, today is a rather unique program because, folks, Peter has been given permission by one of his clients to share their story, their experience in reference to past lives. I don't know if we'll get into Life Between Lives in that regard, but we might. We'll see what Peter is going to share with us. And he is basically going to be offering us a presentation. So it's not going to be quite the same conversation, although I may jump in every so often to ask a question. But Peter's going to be talking about one client in particular. And Peter, I'm going to basically allow you to sort of begin this presentation. And again, thank you. And I thank your client for his willingness to share.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, dear. What I'd like to do is begin by talking about what hypnosis is, because there are so many myths about it. And by talking about what it is, then your listeners and viewers will get a better understanding of how the session unfolds here. So from my perspective, hypnosis is just simply focused concentration, where you're fully aware of everything that's going on around you, you hear the traffic outside, but hopefully you're sharing with me what's going on inside of you, because I believe so many of our answers are within us if we can just get out of the way. I find that if you've ever cried while watching a sad film, you've been in trance, focused concentration, reading a good book, watching television, daydreaming. We go in and out of trance every day. It's easy to get there. It's very relaxing when you're there. And when you're there, we can easily connect with your heart, your higher self, and all your guidance up in the fifth dimension. In fact, that's what we do. I find that about 60% of my clients are visual. So we go into a past life or meet with a higher self. And those clients see it all in their imagination. It's like they're starring in their own motion picture costume drama. Terrific. But about 40% of my clients, and I'm in this group myself, are more auditory or sensing or feeling. So whenever I go into one of my past lives, I don't see anything. I hear it. I sense it. I feel it. I know exactly what's going on. I just don't see it. So it's very easy for my ego mind to say, Peter, you're making this up. Well, I'm making up this story, not that one over there. It's coming from somewhere. And I find in the trance state, your soul speaks to your imagination. And your soul is not making things up. Rather, it's translating what is inside of you into first thought, first feeling, first image, first voice. So I invite you, my client, to be my tour guide, be my court reporter, and share with me whatever is happening as the session unfolds, because we're talking back and forth throughout the entire session. Before I go any further, I'd like to first talk a little bit about, as it relates to exploring this topic even more. And so for me, I find that with talk therapy, we're working with the conscious mind, the memory, and the ego. But it's all within a three-dimensional model of, this is all there is, folks. There's nothing more than what I can experience right now than what's in the third dimension. Well, there is so much more. So in the hypnosis that I do, I take you on a journey up in first into hypnosis, a very focused level of relaxation. And then from there on up into the fifth dimension, up into the light, a very high vibration, where it's very easy for us to connect with your heart, your higher self, and all your guidance. In fact, I recently came upon a quote from Albert Einstein, who years ago talked about how difficult it is to resolve issues in the energy that you're in right now, here in the third dimension. But when you go to a higher vibration, a higher level, and look down on the situation, it's often very easy to resolve these issues. In fact, that's what we're doing. We're taking you to this higher vibration, inviting your heart, your higher self, and all your guidance to join us. And they, in fact, lead the session for us and help you resolve these issues. In fact, I share with clients right up front, as they think about the issues they'd like to focus on, we talk about those issues in a free consultation, but then I share with them that the fact that during a session, we're bringing your list issues to the session, but your guidance is bringing their issues to the session. Mm-hmm. And their issues take precedence over yours because they know where we need to go first. And they will.
Let me ask you real quickly here. How you got into this profession, what was it about it that obviously was so intriguing, especially considering the additional modalities that you've added to your repertoire, that you've been doing this for over 25 years?
Well, when I was a kid, I have an older brother who's 3 years older than I, and he had a comic book collection. And there was a particular Superman comic book that attracted my attention. I may be 8 years old. And so, back then in comic books, there would be ads in the last few pages of comic books with different products that were for sale. In this particular Superman comic book, there was an ad for a book called How to Hypnotize Your Friends. Oh, to my 8-year-old mind, oh my God, how cool. I went up to my father, who was a mortgage banker, and I showed him the book and I said, "Dad, I really want to buy this book, but I don't have any money. Can you help me?" And my father looked at the ad and looked at his loving son and said, "That's the stupidest idea I've ever heard." Killed it for 25 years.
Ouch.
Well, but as things turned out, I got a degree in international relations, which means I can relate internationally. Washington, D.C., where I was living, and began working in the nonprofit world for an international organization, but began taking classes in hypnosis on the side, and eventually got certified as a hypnotherapist in my spare time. And by this time, my father was very, very supportive of this particular, shall we say, avocation. So it's meant to be, shall we say.
Did your father ever, after that childhood incident, encourage you to find something that you loved to do because you'd been doing it for a long time? You'd be doing it for a long time, I should say, and that type of thing.
Well, he realized that we need to listen to your heart. All of us need to listen to our heart. And so I was so pleased that even though he was at the age of 8, encouraged me to go into something a bit more useful in terms of for the world, in the workaday world. When I came back with my master's in international relations, he said, "Hey, also pursue what your heart wants you to do." So I was able to do both at the same time and then eventually became full-time hypnotherapist.
Before I have you dive into this experience of this one particular client of yours, one final question for you, and that is because we're kind of here as I offer up, of course, our little slogans, new paradigms for a new world, giving people choices and knowledge of those choices to help make their dreams come true, and looking for those new ways of living. How In your estimation, in your perspective, how are you changing the world? Because from my perspective, you are.
What I've discovered is that in my hypnotherapy practice is that Earth, and again, this is according to me, but I've been doing it for 25 years, and I'm a board-certified past life regression therapist and a certified hypnotherapist. And from what I've discovered, that the world is Earth is a free will zone. We come to Earth to practice making choices. In fact, there are many places where our souls can evolve, one of which is Earth, but other realms and stars and planets or whatever, what other places we can go, because our souls are eternal. So we choose to come to Earth to practice making choices, because by doing so, we learn about life. We gain wisdom lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. There are no wrong choices, they're just choices with consequences. So we make our choices. Good, bad, and indifferent, and discover from those consequences what life is like for us. One of the choices can be, I'm going to do it myself. Great. But another choice can be, I'm going to ask for help from the unseen world. Help's all around, but help cannot help us as much as we ask for it. So this is a long way of going about answering your question, but I want to just add upon this, build upon this. What I found in my practice is that with this helping all around, that it's very easy. But you think about spirit guides, angels, archangels, ascended masters. From my perspective, each of them has a little cubicle with a comfortable chair, a small desk, and a red phone. They're waiting for your call. They're bored. Dude, ask them for help. Because then you're in charge of your life. You are asking for assistance. Well, then they can assist you unconditionally. So I strongly encourage my clients to do that and to go into their own power, to ask their own guidance for assistance to help them connect with their own power. And so I think that's how I'm seeking to lead my life as an individual, and that is to encourage my clients to do the same thing and work with their own guidance to ask them questions and get answers through first thought, first feeling, first image, first voice, and therefore act upon those answers and watch their life as it unfolds with all sorts of positive things happening for them.
Well, I think that from my personal experience, I think it's very cool because it is something that I have sought after for quite some time to better understand, as I know a lot of people are trying to better understand who they are and why they are here. Mm-hmm. And what their life's purpose is. Now, I've been fortunate, of course, in that I have felt as though I've been on purpose for quite a number of decades. I was fortunate to have, so to speak, fallen into the right slot, so to speak, you know, for my life. I know a lot of people, they're still searching, and some of them are in their 50s, their 60s, their 70s, their 80s, and so forth, and older, and are still looking. And I know that there's one that's often used as the example. Well, remember, Grandma Moses didn't start painting until she was 80. Well, then you got to Google who Grandma Moses was and look at her paintings and so forth. But that was what she finally found as her life's purpose, but probably more so when she was 80. Who knows? Our life purpose could change over the course of time. And it's always, to my observations, an expansion of. In other words, it's a stepping stone. What your purpose is today, if it changes, this was a stepping stone too. And there was never any wasted time. For example, in my perspective, there was never any wasted time in different jobs that were not related to broadcasting or broadcast producing, because I was learning something within the context of that other job that I could take back to that broadcast producing arena. So I think that's really very cool. We're going to talk about Robert, aren't we?
We are, but I want to give one more example here just to set the stage.
Please.
I was at a workshop several years ago as a participant, and there was another hypnotherapist present also, a participant at the same workshop. We engaged in idle chatter before the workshop began. During one of the breaks, he shared with me on his cell phone part of a video of one of his client sessions. Now, his client was in hypnosis, and they had invited the client's Uncle Harold to join them for the session in the client's imagination. Uncle Harold had passed on years before, but in the video of the session, you could see a little photograph of Uncle Harold dancing right next to the client's face. There was no photograph of Uncle Harold actually in the session room, but Uncle Harold was present. Thank you very much. Which proved to me that everybody is available to us in the trance state. Whether they're currently alive in physical body, we ask them to join us through your imagination. Or they passed on, we ask them to join us in the spirit realm. Or their past life personalities that we can invite to be present. Or their angels, spirit guides, ascended masters, archangels, whatever from the non-physical realm. Everybody's available to us in the trance state. So as an example, let's say growing up, Dad was a raging alcoholic, and it was really difficult for you and your siblings and Mom to deal with his drinking. In fact, your elementary school years were awash with chaos at home because of Dad. Fortunately, Mom and Dad divorced when you were 12 years old. You've not heard from Dad in years. You don't want to hear from Dad. You're still angry at him, but the damage was done. You're now 35 years of age and whenever you're around adults abusing alcohol, your inner child, little Peter in this case, gets upset. We all have an inner child. We ignore them because they really don't exist, but they do exist. And when they're unhappy, we're unhappy because perhaps little Peter is reminded of what life was like growing up with Dad. So during the session in hypnosis, I invite you to ask your inner child to join us in your imagination. and pretend that he's there sitting in your lap, using a pillow to represent him. With him safe and protected by you, Big Peter, we invite you to ask Dad to join us in your imagination. An adult to adult, speak your truth to Dad, letting him know how difficult it was growing up in that household and how you're still bearing the scars of that in your life today. Often Dad apologizes to you. That's what we're hoping for. But let's say he doesn't. Let's say as you're talking to Dad, you share with me, Dad just turned his back on me, crossed his arms, said it was Mom's fault, not his. Well, we invite Dad's higher self to join us. So we have Dad, his higher self, you, your higher self, and Dad present. So what can often happen is that Dad's higher self will say to you, Dad's not ready to take responsibility for his actions, but he's going to have to do that later in this life or an upcoming lifetime because it is part of his soul's journey. But can you, Big Peter, through your compassion, forgive the person, not the action? Because Dad was doing the best he could do. He didn't do very well, but he did the best he could do. And for him to, for you to forgive the person, not the action, allows you to let go of a lot of that Dad stuff you've been carrying with you for far too long. A good friend of mine talks about cowboy logic. What is cowboy logic? When your dies, get off it. Just let it go. Just move on from it because it's over with. Just let it go and let move on from that through compassion, through forgiveness. And that idiot over there, she made your life hell, but she was doing the best she could do. And maybe it was karmic. Maybe in a past life, you treated her the same way she is treating you now. What goes around comes around. I don't know, but by forgiving everybody around you, it allows you to move forward on your soul's journey without all that stuff you've been carrying with you for far too long. It's all about.
It makes me think of all of the different elements of what I do, and that I want to share all of those elements with everybody that is interested in getting involved, because if I can train someone else to do what I'm doing now, that means I get to move on to other things. And so it's that same kind of, I'll call it release. You're letting go of the territory. In this case, whether it's resentment or fear or anger or what have you, the forgiveness is the release to allow you to move on to new levels.
Exactly. And I find, as I get on my soapbox again, from my perspective, there's a huge flaw in humanity, a huge flaw, which is you're not in charge of other people. You should be. You're just in charge of yourself.
Yep.
So best you can to forgive yourself and love yourself and forgive everybody around you and love everybody around you, because we're all doing the best that we can. Otherwise, we'd be doing something different in that instant. So let it go and move forward with love, compassion, and joy.
Very great.
Right. Let me go ahead. On my colleague, Robert, my client. Robert is a former attorney who's Jewish. He described himself as very analytical. He told me that he'd never believed in the afterlife and he had no belief in God. Oh, okay. He's 81 years old and very much aware of his mortality. And since he did not believe in God, he wanted proof that his soul will continue after he physically dies. Also, Robert shared with me that he wanted to find out why growing up he'd had such a terrible relationship with his parents, especially with his dad. But both parents had died long ago. In addition, Robert was curious about a dream that he'd had a numerous time. In this dream, he was trying to get home or go someplace. And to quote him, "I'm lost and I can't find my way and people won't help me," unquote. So during our session, Robert wanted to release the childhood trauma from his dad and find out if his soul will continue after he physically dies. Now, I was intrigued because of my metaphysical practice, and I wanted to show him by taking him into hypnosis to let him channel his heart, his higher self, and all his guidance available from the light. That could include spirit guides, archangels, ascended masters, and the like. Plus, he could easily invite his loved ones from the other side to join us as well. Because what I find is, and I'm sure you're certainly aware of this yourself, Richard, is that this guy just knows everything about us and is eager to show up and talk to us during the session. So I'd like to share my notes about the session with your listeners and viewers. Doing this work for 25 years, and as you can tell, I'm rather passionate about it. All right. So I guided Robert into hypnosis and then on up into the high vibration of the fifth dimension, where all the answers can be found. As he rose up higher and higher into the light, he described this place in the fifth dimension as being in outer space. I'm far from Earth, he said. Once he was at this destination, far from Earth in outer space, I asked his heart to join us, as if he could channel his heart with words like, I'm here. So I'm here, said Robert's heart. So I asked Robert's heart, what does your heart look like or feel like or seem like to you? And being visual, he described it as a red heart right out in front of me. I invited him to ask that heart to talk through Robert as if he were channeling it. So, but at this point, Robert mentioned that dream that I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. And he said, I'm in my dream now, and I realize I can't get home. I'm stuck. As I'm rising up into space, there's something there that is blocking my way. It's like there's a lid above me, preventing me from going even higher. So I asked whatever was blocking him to come forth and speak to us with words like, I'm here, giving that blockage a voice. Robert channeled the blockage by saying, I'm here. So I asked this blockage, are you a part of Robert or something else? It replied, I'm an obstacle. Oh, okay. Well, who sent you to Robert? God sent me. Tell me more. But Robert doesn't believe in God. And so Robert continued to channel this energy. This blockage is my dad's energy. Oh, so I asked Robert's dad what the purpose was for him to be inside his son's energy field. So dad was present with Robert, even though dad had passed on years before, dad's energy was still attached to his son. So here's what dad said. To keep Robert from succeeding, to punish him, I hate my son, unquote. Hmm. You hate your son, I asked. Because I've always been jealous of him, dad replied. Wow. So we invited Archangel Michael to join us. Again, everybody's available to us from the light. And I typically call upon Archangel Michael because he's the protector. And he's very helpful in suggesting next steps for my client and me. So I asked Robert to describe, what does Archangel look like or feel like or seem like to you? And Robert said, he looks like Jesus. He's wearing robes. He's shining, glowing. He looks very powerful, Robert said. Well, to make sure this is Archangel Michael, because it's a voice that Robert's channeling. I hope it's somebody with wisdom, but it could be anybody. I asked this question. Are you in service to the light and love of the one infinite creator? If it is not Archangel Michael or not a wisdom figure, it cannot lie and say, I sure am. So I use this question to make sure we're speaking with very high vibrational energies. Mm-hmm. And it's yes. So I asked Archangel Michael what wants to happen next. And Archangel Michael replied, we need to go around that lid, that energy blockage created by Robert's father. Because as I mentioned, as Robert was going up higher into the light, he had this blockage above it. So I asked Robert to imagine himself slowly moving around and beyond dad's energy, going up higher and higher towards the fifth dimension. Robert then reported, I've now moved past my dad. I can now look back at him. And Robert said, goodbye, you idiot. So this is the actual words that that Robert used. And then Robert said, I'm enjoying this. I'm now breathing more easily. The huge weight I've been carrying for far too long is now off my chest. Wonderful. I'm feeling joy for the first time in such a long time. As you recall, Robert's 81 years old. I then guided Robert up into the fifth dimension. I asked him to describe this place, and he said, I'm standing at the top of a beautiful green hill above a village. I feel very happy being here. I then asked Robert's heart to join him. Once again, heart said, I'm here. And I asked his heart, well, at that point, Robert placed his hand over his heart and said, I love you, heart. I asked his heart then if he had a message for Robert. And the heart replied, we need to release Dad's blocking energy from you so that Dad can no longer be an obstacle for you. Because until now, your father's energy has been keeping you in fear for far too long, preventing you from making a strong connection with your heart and your soul. So I asked Robert's heart, since it's leading the session, what wants to happen next? And the heart replied, we need to release Robert's feelings of fear in his analytical mind, left over from the trauma growing up with his dad. Because as I mentioned right up front, that household that Robert grew up in was filled with trauma due to especially dad. So I asked then Robert's heart, where are the feelings of trauma and fear located in Robert's body? And the heart said, his stomach and his intestines. Okay. So I asked Robert to focus on that fear in his stomach and intestines. And it turns out, Robert had suffered from pains in his stomach and gut for years. Made sense to me. If Dad's was there causing problems in the stomach, causing fear, then Robert would feel this over a long period of time. So, Robert, as you focus on the pains in your stomach and fear and gut, what color is that fear? Black, he said. What's the shape of that black fear? It's a fist. In fact, it's my dad's fist. It was so traumatic whenever my dad hit me. It was among the worst experiences in my life. So, realizing that we had this fear in his stomach, I asked the question of Archangel Michael, who from this vibration in the fifth dimension can help Robert release all that fear energy from the trauma that he experienced and has been carrying in his body since he was a child? And this did surprise me. What came forth was a mafia guy. Okay. So let's invite a mafia guy from the light to join us with words like, I'm here. So Robert channeled this mafia guy. I'm here, it said. Well, I hope, even though it was a mafia guy, I was hoping he was from the light. I was hoping he was a, quote, a good guy. So I asked, are you in service to the light and love of the one infinite creator? And he replied, yes. So I knew he was from the light. So I then asked, what wants to happen next? And the mafia guy replied through the channeling by Robert, I straighten out the wrongs in the world. So he began to hit Robert's father. And Robert reported that he caused his dad to fall to the floor with the mafia guy standing over him. So I asked Robert, what does your dad say as this is happening? I'm sorry. I'm so sorry for what I did to my son. And I asked Robert how that felt to hear those words from his dad. And Robert replied, I feel good. So we then asked the angels of the white light to take the fear and pain caused by Dad's energy out of Robert and send that into the light, And they did so, setting Robert free of the black fear that was in the shape of a fist that had been with him for so many years since childhood. When this was done, Robert's heart then came forth and said, "I'm happy because Robert's body is no longer feeling the fear and pain in his heart caused by the trauma from his dad." So I asked Robert, "How does that feel?" And Robert said, "I'm feeling pretty cool. I'm basking in the light and joy." So I asked then, "Heart, leading the session, what should we focus on next?" And his heart replied, "I want to show Robert how best to work in partnership with me, his heart. So, as your heart, I can tell you how to be. Robert, you need to listen to me and not your analytical mind, so I can help you be happy and feel free." So I asked Robert, "How does that feel to hear that from your heart?" And Robert replied, "Wow, what a trip." So then Robert's heart told us that his heart is part of Robert's soul. And now that we've gotten rid of his dad's energy blockage, Robert, you can consciously connect and experience the purity of your true heart and soul connection daily or whenever you choose. Wow. So in achieving this, hearing this, Robert said, "I'm about to cry with happiness." So moving forward, his heart encouraged Robert to ask his heart to guide him in the future. In fact, the heart added, "Good parents teach their kids to love from their heart," which I found to be very wise, coming from the heart. I was surprised to hear this coming from the heart, but it makes sense. Good parents teach their kids to love from their heart. And Robert's heart added, "Pay attention to how your heart feels regarding whatever you're doing. If that activity does not bring you joy and happiness, don't keep doing it." So Robert then responded, "I now have a whole new lease on my life. This is the answer I've been looking for." So I then asked Robert to describe a sanctuary in his imagination where he could go to and reconnect with his heart energy daily or whenever he chose. So he described this sanctuary could be at the beach, at the top of the mountain, in your backyard, wherever you want to go, but just go there right now and describe this place to me. And he said, "There's a patio in the back of my home with a fountain and a lovely view of the mountains in the distance." So he imagined himself sitting there in a wicker chair with cushions, and a statue of Buddha was there on the table. So we asked his heart to rejoin him now in his imagination in his new sanctuary, to imagine himself there with his heart present. "How does that feel?" And Robert said, "My heart just told me that the Buddha is a reminder to me to focus attention on my heart." And then the heart told Robert that the more he meets regularly in his sanctuary with his heart in his imagination, the more guidance and answers he can get from his heart and soul about next steps on his soul's journey, and the happier he will be. Wow. Robert was thrilled. So, as the session drew to a close, I asked Robert's heart to summarize how we'd help Robert during our session. And the heart replied, "We showed Robert that his heart and his soul exist. And we got rid of Dad's negative energy." In fact, Robert then said, "I'm finally free of Dad." Plus, we integrated Robert's heart and soul into Robert's life today. I then asked a question of Robert's heart. "What is your message for Robert from his heart?" And here's what his heart said to Robert. "Don't lose what you receive today. You now have a place to go to meet with your heart and get the answers you've been looking for on a daily basis. If you do not follow those answers, your dad will rise from the dead and haunt you again."
Oh.
So, Robert, You're now in control of your ability to succeed by focusing on your heart and the happiness and joy in your life. As a result, my client's heart and soul could now fill Robert with happiness, with joy, and forgiveness that had been missing for far too long in his 81 years in this body, in this life. So we got together a week or so later. I meet with all of my clients for an initial 2-hour session. And then we get together a week later for about an hour or so to as a follow-up, where we talk about the changes that have taken place between then and now, because changes begin immediately with the session. And I then go through my notes, taking the client step by step through the session, describing what I was doing and why, and underscoring the wisdom coming from all those we worked with. So I asked Robert, by going through my notes, he reported that he was a different person since the earlier session. The anger, the tension, the anxiety, the discomfort that he'd been feeling for years had vanished. He'd not realized that his father's negative energy had been living inside of him and affecting his own analytical self, his own mental self, for so many years. And this analytical self filled with fear had been in control of Robert's thinking process, not his heart, causing Robert to be unhappy throughout his entire life. But now, as a direct result of the hypnotherapy session, Robert's day-to-day life had dramatically improved. So then a few weeks went by, and I received an email update from Robert regarding our session. And here's what he wrote. I just wanted to let you know that our session has stayed with me. I'm living a new life and accomplishing so many things involving relationships better than previously. I'm so content with my life at this time, enjoying what I've missed for so many years. Thanks again, Peter, for all your help. So such our session. And it's a pleasure to share this with you and your listeners and viewers today, because I think it just shows that we can often make very quick changes in our lives by turning to our wisdom, our own wisdom, our heart, our higher self that knows everything about our soul's journey. And hypnosis is an ideal way to do that, because it takes you up into the fifth dimension, using the technique that I've described, to partner with those parts of you that are eager to work with us to help you resolve these issues. Comments, questions, Richard?
Well, first of all, I find it fascinating because I've been through the life between lives, as well as the other hypnosis that we went through. And I don't know that I would necessarily describe myself as being a different person. But what I do recall is the fact that I felt good about, I probably felt better about going through the process than anything else, you know, in terms of my own personal insights, in my experience. And I just think it's extraordinary that in this case, Robert actually felt like a totally different person following the initial session with you. That's how profound this can be for some people, where they've been looking for that, so to speak, stepping off point of, I've had enough. I want to change. This is not working for me the way it's going. But a lot of times they don't know the reasons why it's not working. But it sounds to me like Robert, he knew that it had to do with his father.
Well, he knew that he was angry a bunch of the time.
Yeah.
And he knew I had a traumatic childhood, but he didn't realize it was because of his father. So that, I think, really surprised him to, because part of our awareness in the third dimension is that these energies, like the energy from his father who'd passed on years before, they die. They're in heaven. They can't affect us any longer. Oh, yes, they can. You know, so they can affect us as ghosts, as earthbound spirits, as negative energies, and so on. So I find that by finding out what's causing this, these issues, whether it's something that happened in this life or a past life or a negative emotion or whatever, we can easily, with the help of your heart, your higher self, and all your guidance, help you come to closure with it, help you release it,
and set it free. Yeah, and that's another part of it that is that I would say that initially can be a frustration going, well, you mean to tell me, I don't know how many lives I've lived. You mean I got to go through all of those just to figure out, you know, how to let this stuff go? And I don't know, Peter, maybe the answer to that question is yes and no, because you don't have to necessarily go through. Matter of fact, I interviewed a gentleman, Michael Goddard, and he has been able to connect with over 4,000 previous lives of his. Thinking, boy, if he goes into, he's going to be into therapy for the next several lifetimes, just to work out the karma and all that kind of stuff from the previous 4,000 lifetimes. But it seems to me like, I don't think we have to do that, do we? Because there is a more of a centralized aspect to this where, okay, yes, in this case with Robert, he discovered that, you know, a lot of the stuff was, surprisingly to him, was dealing with his father. But maybe if I'm using the proper terminology here, there is a sort of a central, there's a core to this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. So we are asking your wisdom team to join us, this inner wisdom team, our higher self and so on. And they know everything about you from this life and past life. So they can zero in on the most important past life for us to explore that can serve as the catalyst to help you get rid of, release, come to closure with these memories, whether it's this life, a past life, or something else. And they're eager to help you do that. So it's not, oh gosh, we need to go through 60 lives for us to clear this. No, we don't. No. Often it's just two, and invite you to, through the forgiveness side of it, forgiving everybody for everything that they've done and forgiving yourself as well, can in fact allow you to move forward, because we're all doing the best that we can in this moment. Otherwise, we're doing something different in this moment.
Right, right. I find it interesting too that people will stay in situations due to some of these things that, and maybe it's more due to fear, but they might even stay in, maybe it is an abusive relationship, but it may not be abusive to the extent that, I mean, the definition of abusive is somewhat subjective, from my understanding. You know, for example, I could explain to someone, well, here's what happened at one of my previous jobs, and my boss was this way and that way and the other way. And they would say, well, that's just your boss. That's just the way he was. Someone else may look and say, oh yeah, that's abuse. That is emotional and mental abuse, what he put you through. And you need to seek some therapy for that. But at the same time, maybe that's something that you have sort of allowed to happen over the lifetimes, if not life, the present life.
Right.
And it's that aspect of you. And this is where you call in, like you said before, your inner wisdom to say, hey, help out here. We need to address this. We need to talk about this, and we need to deal with this. And that seems to me a part of this whole process with the hypnosis. I can share with our listeners that this was years ago when I was living in Phoenix, and I used to go with my best friend to our local state fair, and you know, they're going to have all kinds of people there, including hypnotists. And I was never one of those who thought, I can't be hypnotized. I didn't know. And so I thought, oh, what the heck? So I went down there and we sat in the chairs, and this guy says this, that, and the other thing. And my mind is still fully functional. I'm going, I'm not going to buy into this. I'm just, no. Well, one of the suggestions that he made was that when you get back to your seat, when I call upon you and I say a certain word, you're going to cluck like a chicken. I was fully aware. Now, this is far afield from what you do, bear in mind.
Exactly. But
I was fully aware of this suggestion. I'm going, nah, I'm not going to do that. I made up my mind. I was not going to buy into this thing. Not going to do it. And I go back to my seat. And the next thing he calls upon me and he says the word and I clucked like a chicken. And my mind was going, wait a minute. We weren't going to do that. What happened? Now, again, as I said, that is far afield from what you are doing. But at the same time, there is a process that is somewhat similar in that when you talk with that individual's, we'll say, angels in inner wisdom, still small voice, how, you know, whatever you want to call it, however you define it. How do we release Robert or release Richard from that fear, that angst, et cetera, et cetera? And then, of course, there's this suggestion that's offered up through either myself or Robert, for example. And then you take it to the next level and go through a process that facilitates or assists in the releasing. Is that a fair assessment? And it's sort of kind of in a way along the same lines, but it's actually dealing with something that's extremely beneficial, extremely practical, if you will, and freeing in that respect to where, oh, guess what? The next time I come across a boss who decides they want to play that game, I don't have to play that game anymore. I'm not there. I'm not living there anymore. And that actually did happen to me. It was so funny because the initial trauma that I had experienced back I don't remember the year. It doesn't matter, but it was back in Phoenix. And it shook me up for 3 days. I couldn't sleep. And I finally called the boss in and I said, look, we got to talk because, and we sat down and I explained to him what I was going through and that I had completely forgotten about something. And he was beyond apologetic. Well, years later, when I'm in a conference room with him again, only this time I'm being upbraided by a different general manager. I was sitting in what they call the open body posture, feet on the floor, hands on my knees. And I had to do everything in my power to keep from laughing because that previous experience came rushing back in my head. And I remembered, you weren't at fault back then and you are not at fault now. And so what you have to do is, first of all, don't laugh, because it'll just make that general manager even more angry. Listen to him, let him vent, let him do his thing, and you just stay in your personal power. You stay where you are, and you know, there's and you don't take any of what he's saying in. I guess in a manner of speaking, I was able to do that for myself. And we do that, don't we? We kind of offer up those post-hypnotic suggestions to ourselves, don't we?
And they empower us to move forward. They allow us to take back, to be ourselves, go into your heart, ask what wants to happen next for my highest good, and act upon it. But coming from a place of positivity rather than anger, resentment, grief, whatever it might be. So yeah. They take the high road because that's why we're here. We're here to be the best that we can be.
Yeah.
And have yourself there to support us in doing that.
Yeah. And I've had a few other situations since I've moved to Santa Barbara where I've had individuals who have gone off like that. And I have to remind myself of that past experience and saying, that's not you anymore. This is you. And they're just venting because they're dealing. Do you find that that seems to be really the issue there? In spite of the fact that we say, in this case, like our parents, Our parents did the best they could with what they had. All right. And whatever trauma I might have experienced was based, once again, on the fact that my parents had what they had to work with. They didn't have the tools I have today. And so I don't want to blame them, because that doesn't help anybody. But I could, this sort of brings up an aspect of compassion, not just forgiveness, but also compassion and understanding for the other person, so that you kind of cut them some slack.
Right. And I find in my practice that we choose our own parents. So there must be a reason why you chose those two individuals to be your parents. It could be past life related. In a past life, they treated you in this life just the way you treated them in the past life, as I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. What comes around, or that you need to have that experience as a soul to help you. Those clients of mine who've had problem after problem after problem, or trauma after trauma after trauma, often many of them are able to move through these traumas and gain the wisdom from it, and then they find themselves as a counselor working with people who have traumas that they themselves had, and they were able to overcome. So they, by having walked the talk, if you will, mm-hmm. then serve as a beacon of hope for those who are now in the midst of what the counselor had been had herself lived through, but had come out on the other side with a great deal of compassion and support and the like. So yeah. We're practicing as souls.
Yeah. Have you ever observed others, be it in person, out in the field, or maybe even on a television program, an interview program, or news piece, where you're watching this individual and you, because of your experience, you're picking up on the stuff that it would really help them and the rest of us if they would just deal with, you know, these issues, and I could probably help them, but unless they seek you out, there is no help to be offered. Have you ever felt that way, or what is your tack? What is your take when you tend to observe situations like that?
I go back to I'm only in charge of me. I'm not in charge of other people, as I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to take charge of myself and realize that that person has their own choices to make. Therefore, they're on that journey. They will make the choices that are best for them at the time, and to learn from those choices the consequences that come. And that's where wisdom arises, from the choice we make. So I'm just in charge of me, but I can send compassion, I can send love, I can send support to that person, but they're in charge of themselves.
Yeah. Well, I think it's very cool that we all have that opportunity. I happen to be, as I've shared many times on this program, a Reiki master. So when I see situations that are unfolding in a certain way, I will start to send, whether it be absentee or otherwise, I'll just send energy to help them. Now, I can't control what the energy is used for. That's up to the person. Just like you said, it's their choice. But I'm compassionate and I'm understanding that they may be sad or fearful or frustrated and have angst or anger, you know. And I want to help to sort of maybe get them hope. Yeah, I'm like, again, I want to put a condition in there, and I have to fight that urge to help them to de-escalate the high energy, you know, that frenetic energy. But again, that's up to each individual to do that. And so I can't really do anything about that as much as I would like to. And I know we all want to help to solve other people's problems, you know. I guess in a one sense, that's sort of human nature. I'm glad that you are where you are, helping us to do that. For those who are interested, we encourage you to get a hold of Peter. He does have a website, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm going to share that with you. And it's something that you're going to want to check into, because you might want to follow up with Peter on this after this program is over, and see what's available and what's out there. And I just am going to have you share with us, Peter, what that website is, because my computer says no, I am not going to do that. So I have to send my computer to a therapist.
Those listeners, to go to www.insightsfromwithin.com, insight with an S on it, a plural. And I offer free consultations by Zoom or phone or Skype for 30 minutes or so, where you can talk about the issues you'd like to resolve. And I can talk about hypnosis, what it is, how it works, and the resources that we can bring to bear during the session, the resources. So feel free to contact me, and we can arrange a time to get together. And if there's a match, great. And if there's not a match, great.
Yeah.
We'll decide.
But what I think is fantastic is the fact that an individual, let's just say there isn't a match, the individual is actually seeking.
Yes.
They're out there. They're saying, hey, I want more out of my life, and I want to get free of this stuff. Insightsfromwithin.com is the website. Do you prefer people just to go to the website to make contact with you?
Yes, because there's a form there that they can easily fill out and email back to me. And then I can contact them for the to arrange a time for this free consultation.
And that's Insights from Within Hypnotherapy here in Santa Barbara, California. I honestly, not that it really matters at this point, I cannot remember how you and I connected, and it's been years. I almost want to say 8 or 10 years that we have been both client therapists, but also friends as well. And you've been on this program a number of times talking about so many different things that are so helpful to folks. And so we hope that folks will go to the website, insightsfromwithin.com. And as he just mentioned, there's a 30-minute consultation to you, the prospective client, via the various modalities, Zoom, phone, Skype. I don't know that, and I don't know if they're here locally in Santa Barbara, you do them in person, but.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay. Well, folks, I am fascinated by what Robert went through and the insights that he gained. And I would take it that he is still a client of yours, still seeking answers to his life and what makes him who he is. And, my understanding is that there is a particular doctor, if you will. I know that as far as the life between lives, there is a doctor, I can't remember his first name now, but Dr. Newton.
Michael Newton.
Yeah. And I've read 4 or 5 of his books in regards to the case studies. And they're fascinating. They really are. They opened up my eyes. And I think I can't remember if I read them before or after our sessions, but it to me is fascinating that each of these individuals in the case studies is independent of one another. They don't know each other. And so it's one of the things that I find so fascinating about this particular area of science and so forth, as well as of metaphysics, is that you have people having these experiences around the globe, and they're so similar. How do you argue that it isn't true when none of these people know the other person? I know that the conversations, for example, about death and dying, and when are we dead, and maybe life between lives, or rather, near death experiences, and of course, scientists. They criticize it. They have a negative a critique of it, because the brain synapses are doing this and that, and there's still electrical charges and blah 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 blah. And I'm going, really? So you're telling me that everybody who has a near-death experience, that's what they're going through, and they're having exactly the same experience, in spite of the fact that we're all individuals. Have you dealt with people? Have you worked, I shouldn't say dealt, worked with people in regards to some of these near-death experiences?
In fact, I'm one of the founding members of the Santa Barbara chapter of the International Association for Near-Death Studies. We have we meet monthly at Unity Church for a couple of hours, and we have a near-death experiencer talking about their particular experience as an NDEer. And they're open to these are open to the public. Plus, there's an experiencers group of people who've had near-death experiences that I facilitate. We get together once a month for a couple of hours to share and talk about what happens for those who have questions about it, or who have had shared death experiences, or past or out-of-body experiences. Mm-hmm. So, Santa Barbara has a very lively group of people interested in the topic, and we meet monthly as a group and as a smaller group of experiencers once a month as well in a separate location.
So, you know, these programs are so informative because I did not know that about you. And yet I have had one of the other members, first name is Barbara, I cannot remember her last name. Years ago, I had her on the program for IONS, and we actually run one of their public service announcements.
Yep, that's my group. In fact, this last weekend, we had an experiencers gathering here at my home. And
Oh wow.
So it's come join us, folks. We generally get maybe 50 to 75 people at our monthly events at Unity. It's the second Tuesday of the month. The great time.
I'm blown away, I'll be honest with you. So there's another program. We're gonna have to have you back to talk about that. So we'll set that up down the road here and have you back to talk about IONS and near-death experiences as well. Peter Wright, my guest here on Tell Me Your Story, I want to thank you so much for being a part of this program, for doing what you are doing to help people to move forward and find their life's purpose, find their direction and so forth by releasing a lot of the stuff that's been holding them back. Thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me once again.
And I thank you for being here, for listening to and watching Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, where we're giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. And until our next broadcast, podcast, video cast, love to Lal. Jeanette, I am still listening. Dad, continue to be happy, because I am. Smokey, I'll see you on the other side. And to my dear friend Zorro, aho, aho.